Tuesday, February 17th. The first reading from the letter of St. James, chapter 1, verses 12 through 18. Blessed is he who perseveres in temptation, for when he has been proven, he will receive the crown of life that he promised to those who love him. No one experiencing temptation should say, "I am being tempted by God." For God is not subject to temptation to evil, and he himself tempts no one. Rather, each person is tempted when lured and enticed by his desire. Then desire conceives and brings forth sin, and when sin reaches maturity, it gives birth to death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers and sisters. All good giving and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no alteration or shadow caused by change. He willed to give us birth by the word of truth, that we may be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Haydock Commentary. To tempt is to draw and entice another to the evil of sin, which God cannot do. Everyone is tempted by the evil desires of his corrupt nature, and this is called concupiscence, which is not properly called a sin of itself, but only when we yield to it. When we yield to them, our perverse inclinations become sinful, and when any grievous sin is completed or even consented to, it begets death. It makes the soul guilty of eternal death. It may not be amiss here to observe with St. Gregory and others that there are three degrees in temptations, the first by suggestion only, the second by delectation or delight, and the third by consent. In the first, the devil of our own frail nature tempts us by a suggestion of evil thoughts in our imagination. To have such thoughts and imaginations may be no sin at all, though the things and objects represented be never so foul and hideous, though they may continue ever so long and return ever so often. The reason they are not sinful is because we cannot hinder them. On the contrary, if our will remains displeased with them and resists them, such a resistance is meritorious, and by the mercies of God will purchase us a reward. Second, these representations may be followed with a delight in the senses or in the body, and if by an impression made against the will, which we no ways consent to, then again there is no sin. There may be also some neglect in the person tempted by not using sufficient endeavors to resist and repel those thoughts, which, if it be only some small object, the sin is not great. But if the person tempted hath willfully and with full deliberation taken delight in evil thoughts, either of revenge or of fornication or adultery or about anything very sinful, such a willful delight is a grievous and deadly sin, even if he hath not had a will or design to perform the action itself. The reason is because he then willfully consents in mind and heart to a sinful delight. And the sin may be great and mortal, though it be for a short time. For a temptation may continue for a long time and be no sin, and there may be a great sin in a short time. The reason again is because we are to judge of sin by the dispositions and consent of the will, and not by the length of time. Third is the case when the sinner yields to evil suggestions and temptations, so that his will fully consents to what is proposed, and nothing can be said to be lacking but an opportunity of putting his sinful desires in execution. He has already committed the sin, for example of murder, of fornication, etc., in his heart, as our blessed Savior taught us in Matthew 5:28. Do not err nor deceive yourselves by yielding to temptation. Beg God for his supporting grace, for every good gift is from him. The Gospel from Mark chapter 8, verses 14 through 21. The disciples had forgotten to bring bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. Jesus enjoined them, "Watch out, guard against the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." They concluded among themselves that it was because they had no bread. When he became aware of this, he said to them, "Why do you conclude that it is because you have no bread? Do you not yet understand or comprehend? Are your hearts hardened? Do you have eyes and not see, ears and not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000, how many wicker baskets full of fragments you picked up?" They answered him, 12. "When I broke the 7 loaves for the 4,000, how many full baskets of fragments did you pick up?" They answered him, 7. He said to them, "Do you still not understand?" Haydock Commentary. The leaven is the doctrine of the Pharisees, by which they taught children to say to their parents, "Korban," as well as other things contrary to the law of God. The leaven of Herod is the doctrine of the Sadducees, for with them Christ had had his most recent controversy, as appears from Matthew 16:1 through 12. For Herod, as well as many of the principal people at that time, were Sadducees. They denied the immortality of the soul and lived as atheists. So Herod lived in adultery, killed John, and committed many other crimes, having no fear of God. For although he thought that John had risen again in Christ, yet that opinion did not rise out of faith, but was wrung out of him by fear. Others, such as Origen and St. Jerome, understand by leaven the sect of the Herodians who flattered Herod, saying that he was the Messiah.